Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my podcast with Cardinals reliever Bud Norris. He was selected by the Houston Astros in the sixth round, 189th overall in 2006. 2009 finally had the chance to go to Astros spring training camp with the big league club. He was ranked as one of the top prospects for the Astros. Called up in 2009 as a starter, he absolutely dominated the St. Louis Cardinals. He's pitched with the Baltimore Orioles, the San Diego Padres, the Atlanta Braves, the LA Dodgers, the LA Angels. And on February 14th, Norris signed a one-year deal to join the St. Louis Cardinals. We talk about golf, closing games out, what St. Louis means to him. You'll enjoy my conversation with Bud Norris. This is presented by Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Need groceries? Think local, think Schnucks. And by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Hot Shots, proud home of sports fans in St. Louis for over 28 years. 11 area locations. Always close to a Hot Shots no matter where you are. Swing by for great food, cold drinks, all the games, all the time. Get more info. Find a Hot Shots near you at hotshotsnet.com. There are Cardinals specials available during all Cardinals games. And if you're a fantasy football player, no better place to hold your draft than Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
What does St. Louis mean to you? I mean, what's this 6-7 months been like for you and your family?
Oh, incredible. Like you said, just, you know, we didn't play great baseball early, but I kept looking at the roster because I'm good at this and saying,
yeah,
hey, we were hurt there, we're hurt there. And we were kind of just scratching the surface of 500 ball. And then all of a sudden, boom, it clicks. And we're doing everything right as far as defense and base running and the bullpen arms and just everything kind of going. So I love winning baseball. And that's what it's, we all do, right?
Right.
I think that's the first and foremost thing. But that being said, it's like we're turning around and I'm just enjoying it. I'm really coming to the ballpark every day with a smile. And there's times in your career where you don't get to do that. But that being said, coming here every day, this is what the fans expect. This is what we expect from each other. And we're putting a good product out there.
Can a manager change that overnight? Or is it players that change it overnight and winning?
It's a combination of things. There's no exact formula of what's going to make wins and losses. You know, we were close in a lot of those games that we lost.
I right.
mean, we don't win all of our games by 12, you know. So that being said, you got to do the little things and little adjustments from everybody on everything that they can stone they can turn over and change it. Some good that can come from that. And I think, you know, with Schilty, everybody has a relationship with him, and we can't talk enough about the good things of the guy that he is and the character, and same thing, he's been through the trenches just like we have. So that helped, but the internal meetings we had as a team and stuff like that, just everybody kind of, the communication picked up, the want and the fire picked up, and that's what you're seeing.
You're a guy that's been around a long time now. So you've been around this game, and you've seen, you know, managers that were former players. Now you're playing for a guy that wasn't a professional player. How does he get the respect of you guys? Because everybody talks about it. I mean, front office, players, the ushers, they're like, man, I love Mike Schilt. I go through a wall for that guy. Why is that?
I mean, he looks you in the eye. You know, he has conversations with you on a personal level and a professional level. But when he talks to you, he looks you in the eye. And you just get that warm feeling from him, like, this guy cares. He cares about me. He cares about the Cardinals. He cares about the guy next to him. He cares about the guy at the bus stop. You know, and that's really what you get from Schilty. And it oozes out of him, and it oozes into you, and you just embrace it. And you just, like you said, you just want to fight for the guy every day.
At the trade deadline, did Bud Norris think he'd still be a Cardinal talking to me here in late August?
I did get worried there for a period of time. You know, the reliever arms are always, you know, a hot commodity, and you want to, you know, bulk up the back end of the bullpen. And
right.
Really, that can really definitely put you over the edge and make a final push. And I wasn't sure, but I wanted to stay. I didn't want to go. I still felt we had a playoff contending team, and now we can see that. But I didn't really want to go anywhere. I wanted to finish it here. I signed here for a reason. I didn't want to get moved again. That's happened to me a few times, but I wanted to stay. So I'm very happy to be here.
Tell me about spring training and just going through, you know, the role of, okay, you're going to start. Then you started. Then you're kind of, well, now you're going to be a reliever. You're closing. You know, it's boom, boom, everybody's kind of like in mid-sentence doing that. And now you're closing. You know, just tell our fans what it's like, because as a pitcher, you know, guys are kind of creatures of habit, you know, and all of a sudden you got to go be a closer. What was that like in spring training?
Same thing. That's something I've certainly learned in the last couple of years of my career, where I can be a man of many hats. You know, like I started for so long. That's what I wanted to do for so long. Every young pitcher that gets into professional baseball, that should be your first goal, is to be a starter, unless you are specifically a back end guy. But, you know, this year, I came into camp with a healthy and I was in a positive place in my personal life and everything else. So I came into camp in a good place.
Yeah.
And I told him, I told Skip Matheny at the time, I was like, hey, I can do a lot of things. I want to start if that's what you want me to do. We had some, you know, red crosses on some guys and didn't know what we were going to get from them. And that's going to be played on any team wherever you go. But it was really after one of my, you know, bullpen sessions in my in spring training, and Skip kind of made the decision then. He's like, hey, we're going to start transitioning you back there because your stuff looks so good, and I know I need help back there. And we didn't have hadn't signed Holland yet
yeah.
at the time, and we were kind of, you know, short back there. But and I had embraced it. So, you know, that wasn't like they talked to me in spring training and said, hey, you're going to be the closer. You know, that door was open.
Well, you earned
some,
it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. There were some guys that were, you know, given some opportunities and stuff, but injuries popped up, and I was the guy. So, like I said, I got a great taste of it last year. I've really embraced it this year, and I'm learning so much and loving it.
I love visiting with you because you're open and you're honest. So I can only imagine what the conversations are like in the bullpen. What are those conversations like with Bud Norris leading the charge?
I mean, they're everywhere. You know, I love the guys I got down there, but there's something that people need to remember is that there's an age gap down there. I'm a 33-year-old
Absolutely.
Man, and we got some 21, 22, 24-year-old men down there. So the things that are going on in their life and the things they're talking about might be a little different than what I'm talking about. But, no, I mean, a lot of pitching, just thoughts and what I see in hitters and what I see on the field and why do we do this, defend double switch. And just game stuff. So
yeah.
And then I think the one thing that really, you know, dawned on them is that, hey, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, we need to start getting our focal points to where they need to be. And as a baseball player and as a person, like a lot of your focal points can go awry. And
right.
that being said, it's like, hey, this is the time we work. So we either have fun and pay attention the first five nice and easy, but six, seven, eight, this is where we get paid. This is where we're going to get our job done. This is how we make such an impact on the game. So let's lock in and get ready to go.
Do you guys manage along in the game and say, well, Schulte might be thinking this in the six. Hey, you need to get ready for that lefty. He might be going here. I mean, do you guys talk about that?
Everybody kind of like basically says, hey, this could be the next situation, and I think it's going to be you. So it's more like, who's the next guy? If the phone was to ring right now, for whatever reason, who's it going to be? And that gives us a little opportunity to a little more prep, a little more, hey, I can check in focally and get my mind right, and I can go stretch a little bit more if I need to.
Right.
But I think that just gives everybody, hey, I'm in there today. And it gives everybody that want and that desire and kind of just lets it the engine start going. And I think that's a great thing. So we don't necessarily play manager. You know, we're back there trying to, like, see when I can get in the game and how I can help. And if he goes to somebody else, we believe in that guy. And we never second guess or contradict or any of that good stuff. But it's like we want to know, you know, we want to be used in the best spots possible. And I think we have a pretty good idea of that now.
Tell me about Bud Norris, the person. So if Bud Norris was not playing baseball, what would you be doing every day, you think?
A couple of things. I like to think there's some baseball players that, you know, really would have just played baseball, and, you know, that's okay with that.
Yeah.
But myself, I come from an incredible backstory, my family and everything else, but I went to college, and, you know, finance is what I love. You know, I'm good at, you know, marketing is something that I really enjoy as well. So I would venture to say if I went into that world again, I'd be in finance like my father, and my dad's a financial advisor. But I truly love golf, and I think a lot of my fans know that. But I would love to either be working in the golf industry, trying to play golf on the mini tours or PGA, or so something in the golf world would be truly where I think I'd ended up, but who knows where it could have taken me.
What's your handicap?
I'm about a 2. And I did
legitimate.
Get to play. I played Belle Reve this morning. I got it in.
Did you really?
And I loved it. And
you played with Miles Michaelis, didn't you?
I did. We got it in this morning. We played this cousin and another nice guy named Pat. And obviously, everybody's been talking about it in the St. Louis community and just had the tournament. And Brooks played outstanding. But
did you play from the tips?
All the way back.
What'd you shoot?
78.
Did you really?
I had a 40-38, and I birdied 9, 10, and 11. So I had 3 birdies in a row.
Wow.
So, I mean, I hit the ball pretty good. The greens were still very true and playable and just
soft.
It's a beautiful course. Like, it's probably top 3-4 courses I've ever walked, played, or whatnot. Like, today was, you know, the weather and the grandstands were still going down and noise, but that didn't bother me. As far as just walking the course and seeing every hole individually,
the place is awesome.
It's a special place.
Growing up, baseball player, obviously. Did you have a favorite team? And you grew up in California, so favorite team, favorite player.
I mean, I grew up supporting the Giants, and the Giants were a very good team during those years. Lost the World Series to the Angels, and I remember that vividly. And, you know, from the hitting standpoint, you guys got the McGuire days, and every time McGuire came to bat, you guys ran to the TV or whatever and watched. Well, that was Bonds for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my high school years were Barry Bonds, and, you know, changing the game and chasing the home run record. And, hey, Bonds is on deck. Like, I mean, it's like kind of like put your pencil down. down, come over to the living room.
Yeah.
You know? So the Giants for me were always very excited. I did root for the A's because they're both right there, and they ran off a couple, you know, 20-game win streaks and just, you know, the whole Billy Beane and all that good stuff.
So right.
I rooted for both, but I was definitely 70-30 Giants. And but the one name that most people I really associate a lot with would be Jason Schmidt. I loved watching him pitch.
Sure.
Absolute bulldog. You know, 200
very similar
innings,
to you.
200 innings, kept quiet, kept under the radar, put his hat on, and went out there and worked. And so he was one of the guys I probably liked the most on the Giants.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here, and I have a scoop for you. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Trust me, it'll pay off. You shop at Schnucks like normal, earn points on almost everything in the store, and redeem the points for money off. Easy as that. If earning money off your groceries wasn't enough, it also has cool features to make shopping at Schnucks even easier. You can locate items in the store, refill prescriptions, check the weekly ad. It's a grocery game changer. So download Schnucks Rewards from the App Store or Google Play and start saving today.
How do people treat you in St. Louis? You are a recognizable guy. So what's it like when you're going to a restaurant or walking around town?
It's great. I don't really get it anywhere else. Like, I don't go home to California.
But you get it in St. Louis.
Yeah, and then I moved to Austin a couple years ago, so I'm still kind of new to that community. But I get it here in St. Louis, and I love it. And it, if I'm not wearing a hat, they're like, oh, man, you look so different without your hat. You know, I think that's for most of us. But that being said, you know, we got a lot of great fans around here. They're so attentive and die hard. And, you know, it's just a hug or a handshake and a high five and on with our way.
I want to clear something up. So there was an article written about you and Jordan Hicks. And saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but oh, Bud is a bully, and he's bullying Jordan Hicks. I want you to explain it in your words, the interpretation of the article and what really is going on.
Yeah, and this is...
Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I am. It's been very difficult. It's been tough because it did come out, and it startled me, and it really hurt me, and it hurt my family, and it hurt the perception of me, and that's the last thing I want to do is have people think of me that way.
Yeah.
And that being said, is a writer, you know, felt that he was viewing it one way, and unfortunately, like you said, the clubhouse banter is a different mindset. I think you understand that a little bit more, and what we really have in there is a group of men. But with Jordan specifically is he's a special case. And I think that's something we're starting to really understand, not only talent wise on the field, but you know, he's got some learning lessons to go because the guy never pitched above A ball. And, so
he's
the article,
kid. He's a kid.
He's 21.
Right.
I'm 33.
I don't want to go back to when I was 21 and relive those. I can't imagine what that would be like.
So that means his future is extremely bright.
Exactly.
But there's some growing pains along the way. And, you know, I will say that my communication with him was stern at times, to say the least, but he knows, and I know, that it's coming from the best place, and I'm trying to get it through his thicker skull. Like, this is what you got to see. This is how I see it. This is how everybody else sees it, but you're not seeing it. So how are we going to make you see it, Jordan? And that was kind of the relationship growing together. And that being said, a writer, I felt, took it a little bit far, and the only quote he had was from our old manager, and it didn't address me, and it was addressed about me, but I didn't get a chance to defend myself in any of this. And even when Hicks was asked to comment, it was no comment. It's not because he felt like I was doing it. He felt like he didn't want to speak on that either. And
right.
So we've had an opportunity to grow from that. You know, a lot's come from that, which is great, but I promise you, I'm not there bullying anyone in my clubhouse. I'm here to be a teammate, and I support people everywhere I go in every facet of their life, baseball, life, whatever it may be. And it was an unfortunate thing, and I think it only made our relationship stronger. I don't think it made our clubhouse stronger, and so we're going to go positively from there.
Your first year in the big leagues, how old were you?
24.
With Houston?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are some bad teams, too, that you were on. Real bad teams.
Rough
so,
years, yeah.
Did you have anybody that kind of guided you along the ways that you're trying to guide some of the younger guys?
In 2009, I got called up in the middle of the year and made my start here. With those guys, I had some veteran presence, you know. But I got most of that veteran presence in spring training from a guy named Jeff Blum, career third baseman.
Oh, yeah.
And learned a lot from him. But right when I got to the big leagues, we were the oldest team in baseball. And now, 2.5 years later, we've traded away 20 players. So we're talking Berkman's, Oswalt's,
right.
Hunter Pence, Michael Bourne, Carlos Lee, Wandy Rodriguez, Mike Hampton. I mean, the list goes on. So they definitely went through a fire sale. So my veteran leadership went away. And they basically looked at me after 1 year of arbitration, making the highest dollar amount on the team, which was one player making X. There was 20 players in the league making more than our entire team payroll. And they expected me to be the veteran, and I wasn't ready, and that was too much on my plate. And once again, we were losing games at a very high rate, which is a tough environment for any young person to try to thrive in. And It definitely, I was not a good person at times. I was sour. It was tough. You know, you work so hard to get to the upper echelon of professional sports, and then you get there and you see what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And it was not pretty. And so, I mean, I had to learn a lot.
I bet, though, you wouldn't change it for the world because it taught you.
Yeah, I mean, it taught me humility. It taught me how to lose. That's something don't want to do.
No.
I honestly, as a kid, my mom would have never, you know, put that on me, because I remember, you know, Little League lessons and stuff. And
yeah.
We're all upset about losing a game in Little League. But, like, here I am at the upper echelon of professional sports, and I see it in front of me, knowing that we're going to lose 100, 3, 4 years in a row, and there's nothing I can do about it. They weren't going to trade me, you know. And
sure.
So that was tough. So, I mean, I wouldn't change much about it, except I wish I could get that time back and have competitive years and try to get into a postseason and see what my numbers would have looked like. You
right.
know? But I did learn a lot from it. You're right. And it definitely has helped me along the way, but it was a tough stretch.
Something I want to ask you about, and we'll let you go after these next two questions. But you and I did a military appreciation night, and our fans should know, and I've tried to bring it up on the telecast, but you bought the tickets for the families to come down to the ballpark. You did a Q&A. You did a magnificent job with that, so well-spoken and respectful to the military community. Where does that come from for you and your family, and why is it so important for you?
I really think it just comes from my parents. You know, my father served in the Navy, my grandpa served in the Navy, and I've been fortunate enough to get drafted and to play baseball and not have to get drafted to go to war.
Right.
And that's really the backstory with my grandpa specifically, is that he played baseball at University of California, Berkeley, and he was a great third baseman, had incredible statistics and all these numbers, and got drafted late in the late rounds of who knows what draft.
Sure.
And unfortunately, he got drafted to go to the war, and he got drafted by the Yankees. So I have one sole possession, and it says, to Ken Norris, best wishes, Joe DiMaggio. So I know he showed up.
Wow, yeah, you have that still.
I do have that baseball. Like, it's at my parents' house.
So it's amazing.
I know he showed up for spring training, but then got drafted to go to war. So it's just, for me, the armed services, how they do truly give us this freedom. And right now, I feel, unfortunately, in society, we might take that for granted. Some of these kids don't understand what it really means to go serve for your country and live in another country and defend the United States from afar and not seeing your families and the sacrifices they're making. So, and that also means the sacrifices these, you know, wives and husbands are making back here, taking care of the family while the other one's over serving. So it just meant a lot to me to have them out. I didn't know the Air Force Base was so close, and we had such a great time checking it out and meeting everybody. But it was so easy to say, hey, come on out to the stadium. Come take a night off and come watch the Cardinals play and help us get to a win. But they're such a big part of this community, and I think it was an easy fit for us to have that done.
You're to be commended for that. I mean that. You did a great job. Final thought. So finance, pro golf, or broadcasting? You're 33, so you got time. You got plenty of time still in the big leagues. But if it ended tomorrow, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're going to be doing?
I would be picking up some golf clubs. I'd be getting a caddy. I'd be getting a swing coach. I'd do some
really, you're really like, serious about it.
Yeah, I mean, I love golf. Same thing. I'm competitive. I feel I have an advantage as far as the mental game, because I'm out pitching in baseball and golf are talked about a lot about in similarities.
Yeah.
And I've just been playing golf for so long, since I was a kid, that I love, and I'm very good at it and competitive. So I'd love, like you said, at this age, because I'm still young
enough,
awesome. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go swing them.
78 at Belrive from the tips. You got a shot.
And I left a couple out there. So.
Every golfer says that.
Well, how many 3 putts did you have?
Exactly. Thanks, bud. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, Dan.